Thank you for letting me speak today. I don't know who received the email, but it said a hard-hitting message. I was going more toward thought-provoking, maybe throw a little humor in there. So I don't know how hard-hitting I will be. I'm actually going to speak more about my personal journey and the journey that I still am on today. And from being a table leader here, it kind of came on my heart that sometimes we sit at the tables and we listen to the messages, and I can see in people's eyes that maybe they want to say something or ask a question, but they seem somewhat subdued isn't the right word, but maybe scared that if you say something that maybe isn't that's out of the ordinary or going down a different path, that folks are going to look down at you. And one of the things Huddle's been very good at is, hey, what's at the table stays at the table. We want you to be open. We want to know you. And so the things that I'm going to speak of today are things that I think about every day, living my life, and how when I do something, how is that biblically thought of? How am I looking in Jesus' eyes and the world's eyes and what I'm doing on that? And I'm from Anderson, Indiana originally. My parents took me to church all the time. I was a Methodist there. My next door neighbors were Catholic, and they had six kids. She was a widow and I was the seventh kid. So from age about 6 to 12, I either went to Saturday Mass with the Brattons, or I went to the Methodist Church on Sunday with my mom and dad or my grandma and grandpa King. So with that, I was in the church a lot. Actually, I knew all the Catholic Mass better than my buddies that went to Catholic school and went to church every day. I mean, I was better at that. But when they would have, you know, you get the wafer, man. I was left out of the wafer. Even at age 7, I didn't understand. Why am I left out of the wafer? I know this stuff better than all these guys over here. Father Howman, he's going, nope, son, you become a Catholic, then you get a wafer. Even at 7, I didn't understand that. So I thought about it. And about age 9, I believe, my buddy Chris, same age, you know, he gets confirmed in the church. Dude is just running with watches and pocket change and new suits and stuff. He's getting all this stuff for being a good Catholic. And I'm going, dude, what about me? I'm killing you, man. I got nothing. So I go, maybe I should do this Catholic bit. Maybe I should do that. And I go, nah, I kind of like the Methodists. They're kind of middle of the road, cooler. You know, when I got confirmed, I got a nice fish necklace. I like that, and introduced to the crowd. No watches, no suits, no cash, but that was okay. So, you know, I'm still a Methodist. My best friend is still one of the Brattons, Catholic fella, and he agrees. I'm still a lot better Catholic than he is, but that's cool. So even at a young age, I thought about these things. I was perplexed. I mean, I think the thing that I enjoy about Jesus is talking about love and humility and compassion and being a servant. I get all that stuff. I really do. I love that stuff. But it's the things that you lead day to day that I have questions about. You know, am I doing this correctly? I mean, that's the bottom line. And I don't know. A lot of times, if I'm doing it correctly. I have 3 kids, people who know me, table leaders. I've failed miserably sometimes with my ability to attack 4th grade math with my son. I seem to butt heads with him. It's very frustrating. I feel badly that I'm not being a good father. So we've talked about that. And when I was talking to some fellow about discipline, and I told him that, you know, my disciplinary approach is I don't physically do anything to the children. I don't want to do it out of anger. I don't want them to fear me. my father and mother never did that. And he goes, well, I see your problem, Corbin. They should have beaten you a lot more. It would have been a lot better. But I told him, no, this is the way I think about it. And he said, he blatantly told me I was wrong. That Proverbs says, you know, spare the rod and you hate your son or whatever exactly it says. I'm not a biblical quote exactly scholar. I know what it says. And, you know, I get it, and I was respectful, and I just said, I respectfully disagree. I mean, that's fine. You and I can disagree, but to tell you the truth, I mean, I'm doing the best I can, but I don't know if that's right. So I go up and see Jesus, and we're talking, and he says, you know that rod thing? That other guy was right. You were wrong on that. Maybe that's what he's going to tell me. I don't know, but I will tell you, that I make it an honest effort to look at that. To me, that says you have to discipline your child, whatever that may be. You can't spoil him, but how do you met out that discipline? That's how I look at it. But like I said, that is something that I think about. You know, my children can talk back to you, and what do? You know, in the old school days, no way you talk back to mom and dad. You're in big trouble. You know, things are different. What do I do with that? And it's tough. It really is tough. How do you get the best out of your children that you can and in a fair, just manner? I find parenting very hard, very hard. So, you know, that's one thing that my journey every day I have to tackle. Another thing I like, I'm not going to kid you, I like to have a few beers watching basketball. Luckily, I have good self-control because the Hoosiers would make me drink a lot more this year. So I'm doing all right on that, trying to show moderation. But, you know, I like to go bowling. I mean, you can't go bowling without a beer, man. You got to get the lane. I like to play golf with my buddies, have a few beers on the golf course, things like that. And I know people here at the table are going, man, I should ask that question about drinking. So I've looked up drinking in the Bible. I want to know what I'm doing. Am I doing this right? Am I missing something? You know, and it's in there. So I look at Ecclesiastes, if I can say it correctly. Dude, that is awesome. Eat, drink, and be merry. Go with your buddies and play golf. I'm going, yeah, I'm finding some drinking here. I like it. So I go, okay, I better go to Jesus. Better go to Jesus, see what he's happened. Well, you go to Matthew, and Jesus says, you know, John the Baptist, he didn't drink and he fasted. And they made fun of him, said he was possessed with demons. Well, this generation says, I'm a glutton and a drunkard because I dine and eat with sinners and drink. I'm going, yes, we got some drinking with Jesus right now. So that's great. I can at least kind of drink. Well, I don't know if that's true or not. I always worry. You know, you don't want to look at the Bible and look at the words and try to get it where it fits into your life. You want it to fit into his life. So I think that is a very difficult thing for me to do, is to say, you know, what is appropriate? I think that, you know, glutton is you have too much to eat. You know, drinking, you don't want too much. I think there's moderation, again, that may come into that. But again, that is my own interpretation. I've got to watch that. Now, is my interpretation, am I using, again, the Bible for my benefit, not for anybody else's? And I'm not going to kid you. I think it's difficult. And that's something that I have to really struggle with. I have a brother-in-law who's an alcoholic. So in my house, drinking is something that my wife is very sensitive to. So I have to think about her. I have to think about the kids, they're in high school now. What crazy things did you do in high school, Dad? And I said, well, your mother told me I couldn't tell you. So that's so right there, that means that some of my things would not quite meet, yes, they wouldn't quite meet the topic. So, but I try to learn from these things too, and it is a struggle every day on that. And I know in the past, I looked at the Southern Baptists and they talk about sin. Don't put yourself into a position to sin. So I think they're saying, well, don't drink at all because that may lead to sin. This one guy didn't even want the girls to go to the swimming pool and, you know, wanting to be really fully clothed to go swimming because it may make a man think about lust. You know, I think that's a little far-fetched, but that is what they think. And so I get it. I try to glean from that, all right, we're looking at sin here. What are we going to do to keep that at bay as best we can? So that's another problem that I deal with on a daily basis. What is the right thing to do on this? I've been a big admirer of Mahatma Gandhi. I think he is a fabulous guy. Well, Gandhi's a Hindu. You know, he's not a Christian. And so I was reading a book, which really made me think, and they were asking a minister, theologian, about, you know, how do we come to terms with Mahatma Gandhi and Jeffrey Dahmer? Because Mahatma Gandhi, if you all don't know, he helped lead India to their independence from Britain with nonviolent resistance. And his basic tenet was from the Sermon on the Mount. He followed Jesus. He didn't follow him as he was the Messiah, but his teachings led him to be this great leader. And that flowed down to Martin Luther King, who used the tenets of Gandhi's nonviolence to help him with civil rights. Well, Gandhi touched countless millions of people and lived a life very much like Jesus in the sense of love and compassion and voluntary sacrifice. Well, Jeffrey Dahmer, if we all know, was a hideous serial killer who ate his victims. It's my understanding that before he passed away, he had Jesus Christ. He had Jesus become his Savior. He was saved. And so, Jeffrey Dahmer's going to heaven. Do I believe that? If he was truly saved, yes, I do. That's what God says. So then they said, well, how do you equate that? Mahatma Gandhi's a Hindu, and Jeffrey Dahmer, and I was reading Matthew, they were talking about, don't be mad about somebody that comes to the party late. Even though you were the party the whole time, don't be mad at the dude that says right at the end, I'm in, Jesus. He gets to go too. So, what this guy said, and he was a minister, and that always helps me when my ministers say things like that, because this is a topic that I can't grasp, and I'm not going to know. But he said, look, God is infinitely wiser, and you know, you can't even fathom what he's thinking, and I just have a feeling that he'll know how to treat Gandhi. You know, and that made me feel good. You know, that really did. He's going to know how to treat him, and that's who should know how to treat him. It's God, not us. I mean, God's the one that makes the final judgment. So then Pastor Paul, he made me think, and people are going, Corbin, does the devil have you, or what is going on in your mind over here? But Pastor Paul made me think about the good deeds. And that was a great speech, and it was very thought-provoking for me, because also one of my best friends is Jewish. You know, he's a great guy. I mean, and he worships the Lord. We all come from the same God. We kind of branched out, Muslims, everybody kind of did their thing. And I was thinking about, what's going to happen to Chiefy? What's going to happen to him? You know, he's not a lukewarm Christian. He's Jewish, goes to temple, has the best family you'd ever want to see. Nicest guy. Awesome. He has all the tenets that all these religions teach about. Kindness, humility, compassion. All the religions teach that. So Pastor Paul's telling me about doing the good deeds and that we're all going to get judged. And then he's talked about the unbelievers over here. So I'm assuming, and I can't talk, that Chiefy may be an unbeliever. And you know what I thought about that? I was going, yes, Pastor Paul, there's Chiefy's chance to talk to Jesus. It always comes through him. Maybe Jesus is sitting there at the end instead of St. Peter, and he's the one that lets you in the pearly gates. You know the best thing about it? I have no idea. But that's what I think about. I care about my friend. I care about eternity. So what do I do with that? You know, what do I do with that? I know you find it hard to believe after hearing me talk for 10 minutes that in my family, I'm kind of the religious go-to guy. You know, I have my parents are older, so dad tends to lecture when he talks about the Lord. Well, old uncle, my name's Kent, my middle name, so I'm Uncle Kent, and they're the ones they always talk to. So of my nieces and nephews. I have a nephew who's gay. I have a niece who's an atheist. I have other nieces and nephews that are Christian, or I have their others that are kind of spiritual. They believe in a God, but in a different way. So I cover the whole gambit. So at least they can come to Uncle Kent, and we can sit and have this discussion about religion and the Lord and the questions. And I've always tell them at the end of the day, you need to read about Jesus. You know, even if you decide you don't want to follow him, there's some good things there. In that, you know, seek and ye shall find. And that keeps me going. I'm seeking all the time. And I'm still trying to find. And I'm hoping that my open discussion with them, you know, can help. But and I'm glad I have that position in my family. But certainly if you met my niece who's an atheist, you would talk to her. You would think she was a great Christian girl. You'd have no idea. She's a school teacher in Boston. Awesome. Knows three different languages. She studied religion and has made a choice so far at age 24. I mean, she's not somebody that hasn't. She's actually studied and said, I just can't buy this. I can't buy this, Uncle Kent. We've had this discussion. So, in these situations, you sit and think about, what's going to happen to Alexis? You know, Charlie's gay. Charlie, Christian, great Christian, but the sin continues. All right? Does that mean that Charlie, at the end of the day, even though he's a Christian and believes in Jesus, isn't going to go to eternity because it's a constant sin, they say? I don't know. But they say gossip's a sin. Gluttony's a sin. The guy who ate his last piece of prime rib was a Christian, but he was 400 pounds and blew up and died. Seems to me that he was still practicing gluttony. I don't know. I mean, that's the best. You guys are going, what in the world has he been drinking? He told us he liked to drink. I think he did it before this. But these are things that I think about. And I do believe, and I don't know for sure, that I have, like I said, over 5 years, my tables all know that I'm a little unorthodox in my table leadership. I never go off the thing. That's why you don't have one of the little list things. I never go off that. They make fun of me. They know that I'm unorthodox in my views. So they've heard some of these things that I've said before, so they're not totally shocked. But I will admit that getting up here in front of a crowd from all walks of life, all different viewpoints, I'm not kidding you. I was nervous. Now I'm going to tell these guys about me, about what I think. Are they going to judge me? That's the risk I take. Going in there and praying with the fellows, they did awesome prayer for me, really gave me strength and courage to say, look, this is what I've been thinking about, a long time. You know, let me just go to folks. You all have, you know, great ability. I learned so much from all of you about your life. I talk again about my children. One thing that I see a lot from the older gentlemen in here is back in the day, you all worked and mom stayed at home, and the kids, you didn't get to take them to practice. You didn't get to do homework with them. And I'll see the loneliness and sadness in your eyes saying, man, I missed that. I missed out on that. And so when I was laying there taking a nice nap the other day and my son wanted to go play tennis. Not what I wanted to do, my nap. I was just sweet. I was sleeping so nice. But you know what? I heard you fellas. Knocked right on my head. Corbin, get up. Go play tennis with your son. That's what I did. You know who did it? You guys, through the Spirit of the Lord. That's how I, you know, view things. I'm just a blessed guy to be able to be up here and talk to you and also be on the tables and get to understand where you're coming from. And that's why I guess I have this talk. I'm hoping that you all maybe can say, well, if this guy can get up there in front of all of us and tell him his thoughts on things, maybe I can do the same thing. You know, I hope that that's something that can occur. And certainly, you know, it's just like something, you have the problem with premarital sex. probably shouldn't tell you guys this, but my wife and I did have premarital sex. She's probably not going to be happy that I just announced that to everybody. And I did not get her permission. I know how you guys are good about getting permission for that. Well, I didn't. But I'm not. That is something that you have to deal with when you're a parent. Now, did I look at it? I'm looking. There's all sorts of fornication going on in the Bible. I mean, it's there. But the way I have to deal with this is I have two daughters and I have a son. My daughter's 17 and my other daughter's 15. I have to deal with these issues on occasion. And again, now you guys know, as long as you don't tell my children I had premarital sex with my wife, I'm safe, because she won't let me say that. But I digress. But the way I look at it is that we had a committed relationship. We were older and we were committed to each other and we were going to get married. So with that committed relationship, is that what God intended for us to do in that scenario? I think that's a reasonable assumption. But there again, I'm fitting it into my box. So I always want to be careful about that. Yes, I did that. Did I look and see if it was appropriate? Yes, I did. That's two good things. Well, the first one you better strike. I don't know if the first one's good. But the second one that I looked into it and really thought about it. So looking at that, those are things that I think of. So being a Christian, I think, is very complex. Religion is very complex. I don't think it's, they said it was black and white. That isn't what I meant. I don't think. I think some of these questions aren't. You can take verses of the Bible and decide this is the way it's going to be or that's the way it's going to be. And so you really have to think about it. Certainly Jesus and his parables. Heck, the disciples didn't even understand half the stuff he was saying. They always had to ask him. And they were with him every day, talking to him. And for us as a group to think, oh, this is an easy one, I don't know. I don't. I mean, I have to reread them and reread them. And so, but that's the fascinating part about religion and being a Christian, trying to uncover this. And it is a journey. And your journey never ends. I mean, if you think it ends, please tell me, because I need the insight. I need to have you come up here and tell us that, because that would be awesome. But certainly, the thing to unbelievers, like my niece, like the story of Isaac and Abraham and the sacrifice, that doesn't go over today. Yeah, I can't tell you that I can go and tell you that God told me to kill my son Corbin to show faith to him. That story is terrifying to some people. And they're going, what kind of God are you worshiping? Well, luckily you look into it, and I have the Bibles that actually try to give explanations. And they're going, well, he sacrificed him in his heart, that God is number one. I get that. That makes sense to me. But certainly the picture of it in the Bible can certainly scare folks to say, what kind of God are you following? What kind of God are we talking about? So then we go from the Old Testament to the New Testament. Are we going to take certain rules out, of the... We're having pork here all the time, for lunch. Are we supposed to not have pork and we have the New Covenant over here? I mean, I get enthused about what I learn about these things, but I do think it's tough for me to say, which rules are we picking? Are we picking and choosing? Is that appropriate? I don't know. They said, no, we don't worry about, dead people and not being able to touch them and things of that nature. And so these are questions that I think about all the time. I think if people saw me in the car mumbling to myself, it's probably because I'm talking to God and they're going, the dude's, he's just nuts. This Corbin fella, there's something wrong with him. But certainly, I thought, today that it was something that I need help with. And if anybody can help me, that's a great group right here to help me out. And I think it's great that we could sit and have a discussion and be respectful about our views on things. You know, how do I talk to my nephew who's a homosexual? What if he wants to get married? You know, how does that equate with being a Christian? I need guidance, Sam. Is that guess who had to tell his father, my brother, that he was gay? Me. You talk about torture. You talk about, I thought my brother might never talk to me again just because I did it out of love and I knew he would blow up at his son. And I mean, he was crushed. I mean, I was so down about having to be the one to do it, but it was coming out. And so, you know, these are tough questions that you actually do face. This isn't something you read in the newspaper. We all have different things in our lives that we need to ask the tough questions, but with love and with openness. And how are we going to help the situation? How are we really going to lead the life that Jesus wants me to do, which is compassion and inclusion? I don't like to exclude people. Let's try to include them. That's why Pastor Paul helped me with the second way station. I think we have a chance, maybe. I don't know. We'll see. We will see. But today I wanted to tell my wife, I said, I don't know. And I didn't, again, I hope she didn't listen to this on, she was going to, on the website. But I'll give her a warning shot about that. But she knows how much I've thought about this. And actually, I did not know what I was going to say until I got up here. As you can see, I have no notes. I had a fallback speech if I did not feel that I could be totally open with you all. So luckily, with the help of all of you, I did feel that I could do that. And I want to thank you for that very much. And I hope that you've enjoyed the talk. And if you need to give me any guidance, please. I need all the guidance that you can give me. And I will gladly listen and accept it. But thank you. I do really appreciate the opportunity to talk to you today. Thanks.